We've been preaching through the book of Ephesians, and all I want to do today is just mention Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even expose them. I have titled my sermon, Don't Take the Bait. Don't take the bait. I'm going to quote a little bit from Lee Kessler. She's an American actress. She is an author. She is a novelist. And she wrote an article that I read that said, don't take the bait. She said, how do the mind guys implement their mind control? There is a tactic we all need to be aware of that has already been deployed to influence the Republican primaries and the selection of the presidential candidates for 2024. Election interference has already begun, and it is being done under the guise of perception management. Such tactics used to be called brainwashing. Then it was propaganda. As a whole new age form of warfare, it has developed into public relations. We've called it that, and advertising. Well, a whole new industry was born to do opposition research, to support one's candidate and destroy the opponent by souring the voter, not on the opponent's policies and viewpoints necessarily, but rather as a rejection of their perceived character flaws. Initially, it began with the idea that the research might expose some sordid things in a person's past. Donald Trump was a pretty easy target for that, as most of us probably would be. That could actually be true, some of it, but it's given way to a concoction of half-truths, falsehoods, and outright slander. And that is where the propagandists operate, in the murkiness of lies that appear as truth. Those who would override our reason with emotion and passion have chosen to use perception management to get their way. Perception management. If someone can create and/or manipulate what you see and perceive, causing you to change your thoughts, then your decisions and actions suddenly change. You change your vote, or you lose your enthusiasm, or you withhold your contributions, or you pass on harmful information in order to inform your followers or friends. If someone can alter your perceptions, they can engage in the slickest form of mind control. For example, Donald Trump was in New Hampshire as part of his reelection campaign. A news commentator remarked that there didn't seem to be the enthusiasm in the crowd that used to be there for him, and further inserting his opinions into his evaluation, he added that perhaps it's time for someone new. This was not from CNN. It wasn't from MSNBC, but a network that most of us listen to every day, or that we used to listen to. Perception management has already begun. It's begun to try to stop Donald Trump from receiving the Republican nomination for president. My point this morning is not to support one side or the other here. It's just to warn and caution us, as Ephesians chapter 5, 11 says, even expose what's going on. It's obvious that something here is going on. It's obvious to me that Donald Trump's policies worked. They worked because of his unique and creative leadership style and his unshakable courage in the face of relentless attacks, 24/7 for 4 years and since then. Perception management will redefine that steadfastness of Donald Trump as reckless stubbornness or insensitivity. In my lifetime, I've never seen a president so attacked so relentlessly as he and his administration worked to better conditions in the United States and in our world, and he succeeded. I've been to Israel twice. I've told you this. My first trip was under Obama. Guards on every one of our tour buses. We could not go into Bethlehem or Jericho. The PLO controls those cities. Wire, barbed fence, security guards. Sign out front before the security gate. If you're an Israeli citizen, you enter on the risk of death. Right there. Part of our problem as Americans, most people haven't been to Israel. We don't really understand what's going on over there. Israelis are in risk of their lives all the time. They're 2 minutes away from a bomb destroying them. Anytime. This has been going on for years. I went back under Donald Trump, 2018. No guards on our buses. There weren't guards everywhere on every street corner in Jerusalem. There were stations maybe every 3 or 4 blocks. But incredible change under Donald Trump, no question. Well, they are still trying to accuse him of a January 6th insurrection. They're trying to bankrupt him with court cases about election meddling. They're going over his IRS filings with a fine-tooth comb. They're trying to keep his name from appearing on the ballot in several states. Who's the last president the Democrats did this to? Abraham Lincoln. How did that work out? Oh, that's the times that we're living in right now. Whether you love him or hate him, whether you voted for him or against him, when a president has a historic increase in people voting for him for the office, and when he and the American people, 75 million of us, are told that he lost, it defied credibility. Sadly, the Biden campaign was a study in perception management. And its first huge victory was the defeat of Donald Trump. We should be asking ourselves, who really wanted Trump gone? Was it really the American people, or was it someone else? I believe it was someone else. And they skillfully aligned forces with major industries and banking and the big media and big tech to ensure that he did not make it. Their problem, though, is Donald Trump. He's running again. And 75 million Americans believe their vote was somehow negated in 2020. Am I wrong? Whether it was by cheating, by incompetence, by wholly inadequate state election laws, or by COVID, or by media manipulation, or by voting booth disparities, or even through legal loopholes, the outcome was the same. 75 million or more now doubt the election process in the United States is honest. The solution that the perception management people have cooked up is this. In 2024, they can't outright tell 75 million people to stop believing and voting for President Trump, or to stop believing the corruption we witnessed in 2020. So they're inside the party itself now, inside the Republican Party, promoting someone who's just like Trump, but not Trump. The very traits that make him so effective in negotiations, in policies, and in world leadership are the traits they want you to shy away from. Statements like, "Well, I loved his policies, but I didn't like his personality or his tweets." They're straight out of the opposition playbook in perception management. The goal is to get you to change your perception of Trump. by lowering it just enough that you will choose someone just like him, but not him. The problem is there's no one like him. He is one of a kind, a total standout in the nearly 250 years of our history. If they can manage your perception of him, dampen your enthusiasm, or get you to embrace the delusion that if he just goes away and we pick someone else, all things will calm down and then they win. But the undermining of an American president through perception management is election interference. The attacks will be covert. They will come from within the ranks of very credible people. Some of you call them rhinos. Their voice and their argument will seem so reasonable. I admire and respect Governor DeSantis, but he's not Donald Trump. Neither is Nikki Haley. Neither is Mike Pompeo. They're fine people. But if Republicans like any one of these or a long list of other hopefuls begin to salivate over the idea of offering one of them up as a candidate, they have already succumbed to perception management tactics. It happened to me at a nursing home just 2 weeks ago. I went to see our Catholic next door who's in a nursing home who attends our men's Bible study. Men know who he is. We bought him a MAGA Trump shirt. And he wore it with pride with his red Trump socks and his hat. For years he had come into Bible study wearing that, a couple of years. And I went to see him and I said, "How are you doing, John?" And he said, "I want you to raffle off my shirt to the men's Bible study group. I don't want it anymore." I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm voting for Nikki Haley." Well, he's been watching whatever the nursing home is showing him. I think it's ABC, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Perhaps a Kennedy will run and we can vote for him. Or perhaps Ross Perot will run again and we can elect Bill and Hillary Clinton twice. You see, they've already done this. They've already tried it. They got away with it. They won. That's how the Clintons got in, was a third party candidate that was just a businessman. He was paid well to do it. He had no intention of being the president, in my opinion. Lee Kessler writes, "Just make sure, my fellow countrymen, do not take the bait. Donald Trump today is who he was in 2016 and throughout his presidency. He represented and spoke for millions upon millions. But if an enemy can get you to favor calm and predictability more than you value world security and the security and prosperity of the American people, that enemy knows you will have fallen for their perception management, whereby they persuaded you that he is somehow too noisy, too dangerous, and you must choose someone more traditionally palatable, someone safer." Controversial, embattled, noisy, sometimes full of grace, sometimes uncouth, he nonetheless got the job done in the world as it is today, not as it was in the past. The next time you hear someone say, "Well, we like his policies, but we just want someone else who won't be so, we want somebody different," just know that they are repeating the propaganda line of the perception management arm of the global elites. In the world of propaganda, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Likewise, the repetition of the message until all embrace it is an old marketing strategy still used today. It's being used by Hamas and Islam against Israel, and people around us are believing the foolishness, in my opinion. Well, the more of you who repeat that message of perception management, the more you make it true. Who benefits if someone with good intentions and talent, but nowhere near seasoned enough to stop the opposing party's candidate, let alone our formidable global adversaries, is nominated? Will you benefit? Or maybe the naive people who just quietly and sweetly say, "I don't like his tweets," hoping that if he goes away, somehow miraculously, all things will be hunky-dory again. No, regrettably, this will turn out badly. This coming year really matters to America's future, to mankind's future. Don't take the bait. And don't take the bait about unchristian lifestyles. Hear me out now. As analogies go, deception and perception management are like becoming entangled in a spider's web. Where did my slide go about a spider's web? There we go. The web of lies, parallel, is easy to grasp, even for children among us. An insect caught in a web can't escape by simply moving to another thread. It will become stuck to that thread as well as the one that it tried to leave. It ends up being more stuck. It's the same with lies. If you try to remain standing in a lie, your next step will be affected by it, and sooner or later, the web will leave you trapped and easy prey for an enemy. I read an article this last week by Jared Bridges. He writes about a book concerning the lies that are being told by the perception management police. Rosaria Butterfield's book is titled Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age. It's a new book. You probably can't find it except through Crossway. But it contains a lot of truth, but only truth, often unvarnished, can expose deception and lies for what it is. Just as only a sharp pull can free a victim from a spider's web, those caught in a web of lies often need truth in the form of a jolt to become untangled. Untangling from deception isn't always comfortable. It doesn't feel good when the Band-Aid is ripped from the wound. From time to time, the deceived are extracted gradually, but a partial revelation of the truth doesn't always convey the vast chasm of deception into which we have fallen. Fresh, unadulterated truth, the kind that's not afraid to step on toes of those being caught in deception, is needed in 2024. Hurt toes are a small price to pay for walking in the truth, even if it causes a limp. Limping or not, staying on the path beats falling into the abyss. Another author writes, "In God we trust. All others must bring data." This quote is an incredibly important quote. Data is indispensable to the scientific method and truth, and only statistics can inform you of your data if it will support your hypothesis. Science is 100% data-driven, or should be, and one's religion and color and ethnicity or sexual orientation does not matter. There is an objective reality called truth, and only the data counts. That data includes the words of Almighty God as written down in the Word of God. In 2023, truth and real data seem to be irrelevant. Here's what's going on in our world. You already know this, I'm reminding you. Exposing, as Ephesians 5:11 said, men are destroying women's athletic competitions and invading women's bathrooms, and we let them do it. What's wrong with us? Before I came to this pastorate in 2010, I was a counselor at a public high school in Virginia. They have a plan. The homosexuals have a plan. The other opposition perception management team has a plan to change our culture, and they're doing it. When I was at that high school, there was just one cute little boy who dressed up like a girl and was in all of the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, playing on women's sports teams, just being so cute. They let him do it. The number of abortions broke a new record, along with sex offenses against children, although maybe not in Texas. 10,000 babies were birthed alive in Texas this past year, praise God. Illegal immigration, being invaded by an army from without, whether it's Chinese or Islamic or cartels, who knows right now? We will probably find out before the year is over. School board members this past year were sworn into office while putting their hands on books other than the Bible. And one woman put her hand on a stack of child pornography books. Demonic statues of Pan and arches to Baal are erected near Capitol buildings, including Arkansas. The temple of Satan was openly worshiped at an airport here in our country. Drag queens are invited to city halls and libraries, exposing children to adult topics and images. The Pope approved same-sex marriage in the Catholic Church. Can I just remind you of something? No priest, no pope, no pastor, no spiritual leader can bless something that God himself does not bless. The Pope's words are empty and void of divine power or authority. They are human utterances and nothing more, and godless, if not silly. What about the mutilation of young girls promoted by Islam, calling it circumcision? What about gender surgeries being done on innocent children? Fortunately, we live in Texas, where this past year, Texas Senate Bill 14 put an end or a limit to this. It bans puberty-blocking drugs and sterilizing surgeries for children under 18. If a management perception judge doesn't overturn it. The Biden administration is trying to prevent Christians who do not affirm the alphabet soup of lifestyles from becoming foster parents. The Texas Attorney General has signed onto a letter opposing this proposed rule, along with 18 other states. What about homosexual acts filmed in the U.S. Senate offices this year? What about multiple wars increasing across the globe, accusing Israel of genocide, when in fact genocide is being done against them, and it's being done against the Kurds in Turkey? It's being done against Nigerian Christians in Nigeria. In North Korea, they're threatening a nuclear war with the U.S., and nothing is said. As Amir Safadi says, no Jews, no news. They don't care. The world doesn't care about all these other groups, including Christians. Lies that lead us astray have only been multiplying since the serpent in the garden suggested to Eve. What did the serpent say? Did God really say that? There are plenty of lies to go around, but in Butterfield's book, she lists five. She narrows it down a little bit, which the perception management police are using to deceive us. Let me just go through these five real quick. What's the first one? Homosexuality is normal. Is that true or false? False, thank you. I've got the DSM-4 down in my office. I taught counseling for years at Dallas Seminary as an adjunct. I taught it at Liberty University too, and it is not normal, they say, in those books. Of course, it's all been rewritten now, but No. The lie that homosexual is normal, and almost everyone is portrayed in media and advertising as homosexual, lending credence to the notion that it's just another part of everyday life, even to the point of infiltrating the church. The percent of U.S. adults who identify as something other than heterosexual is what percent? Five percent. It was 3.5% in 2012. It's 7.1% in 2022, according to NBC News. But a study I saw yesterday where homosexuality is only 5.5% of the entire United States population. If you live in the nation's capital, it's 14.3%. If you live in Oregon, Delaware, Vermont, or New Hampshire, it's above 7%. But the rest of the United States, it's down. Progressive churches, such as the United, hear me out, United Church of Christ, have long accepted and celebrated homosexuality, but its normalization has affected more conservative churches as well. When I took my first pastorate, it was in a United Church of Christ. It was in the American Falls United Church of Christ. That was the title of the church in American Falls, Idaho. They asked me to do an installation service. It was under the auspices of the denominational head in Portland, who came and demanded that we do an installation service, and he have control of the service. And it was a very nice service. It was actually quite enlightening. We had three sections in that church. It sat 300 people, about like our sanctuary does. And this section was a lesbian pastor with her congregation from Pocatello, and a male homosexual with his congregation from Idaho Falls. And so they were cozied up there, and that's good. My congregation sat in the middle. This whole side were 10 of my friends, Dallas Theological Seminary graduates with their wives and some children, who took this whole section, filling it. What kind of theological fight could we have there? We didn't have any fight until the guy from Portland got up and he said, okay, it's been a wonderful service, but let's do a question and answer time. Oh, that was interesting. I'd given my theological statement. That was part of the installation service. I got cursed on this side, praised on this side. I just like our, pretty much our doctrinal statement that's published on our website. Nothing really profound, except that it didn't support an alternate lifestyle. One sweet little lady was sitting right in the front row, Miss Betty, who had trusted Christ, came out of a Methodist church, trusted Christ under our ministry. It was just delightful. Sweet Betty raised her hand and said, Pastor, what's a woman's role in the church? Foolishly, I tried to answer that question. I should have let Hope answer it. Hope had a master's degree from Dallas Seminary. She could have answered it quite well. But being the male that I am, I tried to answer it. Well, an 80-something-year-old woman sitting next to the lesbian pastor over here stood up and pointed her finger at me and said, young man, I was much younger then. Young man, are you telling me I can't have a woman as my pastor? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that my understanding of the Word of God is God does not want you to have a woman pastor. Well, that was pretty much the end of the meeting. All right. All Hades broke loose. And that 80-something-year-old woman threatened my life on the way out. She told me what she was going to use to kill me, where it was going to happen, and when it was going to happen. Well, it didn't happen, but boy, we're in a battle. Perception management is after us. This is a lie that's being told to us. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 lists many sins. Two of them are lesbian and homosexual. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Some of you are sitting here thinking that a man who is homosexual just has one partner who is a male, and that's okay. It's just like husband and wife, or two women, the same thing. Do the research. Do a Google search on how many encounters the average lesbian has in her lifetime. 800. How many does the average homosexual male have in his lifetime? 5,000. This is not normal. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. You want more information? I'll be happy to give it to you. What's lie number two, quickly? Being a spiritual person is kinder than being a biblical Christian, much kinder than being a fundamentalist Christian. It's happened to me. It happened to me and my own family. You know, in the last couple of years, I've lost contact with my daughters-in-law, who are feminists, who are liberals, who are thinking they're Christian, but yet they don't hold to the Word of God. And when I confronted one of them with Scripture, hold back those being led to the slaughter. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11. I quoted that passage to her, and she got enraged. She cut me off, and she has made the comment that I was a fundamentalist Christian. Praise God, I admit it. I hold to the fundamentals of the faith. It's called doctrine. Well, what about number three? We'll get deeper into this as we go. Feminism is good for the world and the church. That was the controversy we had in American Falls at that installation service. Women should be able to be pastors. They should be leaders of the church. They should do whatever they want to do. And men need to shut up and be quiet about it. And God forbid that we open the Bible and see what God says about it. No, we don't want to do that either. Butterfield's biography plays heavily into her narrative. She once identified her this way. I was a woman-centered, pacifist, lesbian, vegetarian who hated everything to do with the Bible. After meeting some Christians who patiently, thoroughly, and lovingly explained the gospel of Jesus Christ to her, she was converted to Christianity. She walked away from that identity at great personal cost, but her biography is most certainly not her rationale. It's merely supporting evidence. She's relying on the truth of the Word of God. Her next lie is transgenderism, the desire to be the gender opposite of the way that you were born, that it's normal. Male and female created he them. That's what Scripture says. I have known these kinds of people in my lifetime, in my time in Dallas. When I was a contractor remodeling homes in Highland Park, I was often at a lumber yard that I won't name, but there was a man behind the counter that just was dressed feminine, and he was frustrated at being a male. And so he went through the surgery to become a female. Did that surgery make him a female? No. Let's not be deceived. He ended up, unfortunately, committing suicide after that surgery. It's not normal. It's not healthy. God made us one way or the other, and let's rejoice in that goodness. Number five, modesty. This gets closer to home. Modesty is an outdated burden that serves male dominance and holds women back. It happened right here in the front row of this sanctuary, the last funeral that I officiated at. Right there in front of the entire family and congregation, a woman started nursing her baby. I'm all about family and babies and nursing, but praise God, you women cover yourselves up. This woman did not cover herself. She was quite proud of the way she looked, and she let everybody know it. It was offensive to several, including me. I went up to a restaurant I won't name, but it's right up the road at Willful Crossing. And one of the waitresses had just had a baby. And I said, tell me about this. This just happened in my sanctuary at a funeral. And she said, oh, that's a woman's right. I'm all about women expressing themselves. I'm not. Okay, ladies, thank you for your modesty. Well, Webbs. Perception management and these five lies affect nearly every American Christian. The solution to these lies is truth. Truth found in personal experience, yes, that's helpful. Truth in the revealed Word of God. These lies are sin. The solution to being shaped by lies is to be transformed by Christ, to repent from sin, be plucked out of that spider's web, out of the deceit, to believe the truth, to be made holy, transformed into the likeness of Christ. Our age is increasingly negative toward Christianity. Where faith may have once held prominence, it's now an object of derision, including in my own family. Derision leaves no room for complex nuances, as some try to do, such as holding to a pro-choice position and claiming to be a Christian. No, God is pro-life. Y'all understand that? Do I need to preach on that? We can stay another hour. No, we won't. But God is pro-life. How about hate the sin but love the sinner? The simple repent and believe truth. That approach to dealing with lies is the only way to pluck someone out of the web that holds them. These lies are not easy topics. I get that. They divide us in society. They divide us at church. They divide us in relation levels at home. They envelop the things that we don't discuss at family get-togethers, politics and religion. But the difficulty of an issue underscores the need to deal with it, not how to avoid it. Butterfield's motivation is found in the latter part of the book, as she sums up a quote by church reformer John Calvin. Calvin said, "To a Christian, the rage of the whole world is nothing. Nothing, that is, compared to the grace and the power of God." Jared Bridges is editor-in-chief of the Washington Stand, and he writes about her book. He puts it this way. Maybe that's the simplicity in her approach to our anti-Christian age. The world can rage all it wants against Christ and his truth, but all its rage is no match for his grace. Make no mistake, this book about lies is ultimately not about lies. Sure, the reader will walk away with a sharp assessment of these lies, perhaps with some sore toes. But it's the truth of God, the truth of God's grace, that will keep us free from the enemy's web of lies. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even expose them." Don't take the bait. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." For we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Help us, Father, not to be harsh, to be kind to people, but to be bold about the truth, to stand for the word of God. There is a judgment coming for all of us, myself included. Hold back those being led to the slaughter. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Help us, Father, to understand spiritual truth from your word and proclaim it to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to those around us. Father, we pray that this coming year would not be a year of violence. We pray that you would restrain the violence in our country. Ultimately, you're the one we're all accountable to. We are at your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.